Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Wood Talk. Now here are three guys who like to use a lot of words, yet say nothing at all. Mark, Shannon, and Matt.
What's up, everybody? It's show number 547, and on today's show, we're talking about robot vacuums for the shop, handsaw sharpening, and is this thing sharp enough? But before we get to that, we want to let you know that Wood Talk is brought to you by Rockler. Rockler's been helping customers create with confidence for over 65 years. Rockler's giving away a $250 gift card to one lucky Wood Talk listener, and you can enter for your chance to win before March 31st at rockler.com/woodtalk.
That's exciting.
Isn't it, though?
That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. You can get whatever you want.
As long as it's $250 or less.
You're not pigeonholed into getting what they want you to get.
That's right. What's that mean?
You'll get this one thing and that's it.
Okay. Like if they were, they're giving an item away versus a gift card. Now I understand.
Yes.
They have choices. I'm with you.
You have a choice.
We know you have choices.
You have a lot of choices in your woodworking. There's Rockler and the other Rockler and then the Canadian Rockler. But we're glad you joined us at the regular Rockler today.
I forgot about the Canadian Rockler. That's awesome.
Oh, man. If you want to help support the show thing that we do, you can absolutely do so. You can go to patreon.com/woodtalk and sign up to become a patron of the show. We'd like to thank Matthew So, John Lee Clare, David Sipich, and KP Creations.
Ooh, easy ones this week. Nicely done.
Yeah. David almost threw me off with that P in the middle of two I's.
That's true. Yeah, that's a little bit confusing.
That one got a little weird.
Figure it out, David. Make that's it
when
better.
That's when you take a little bite of a sandwich. A sippage.
Just a little sippage? Yeah, you got a little sandwich and a little drink. You take a little sippage of that drink when you're done.
There you go. Yeah. If it's too dry, not enough mustard or mayo.
It's always good to make fun of the people that support you.
We're off to a good start today.
That's part of our brand, I think.
I gotta tell you guys, we normally record, Saturday mornings, not mornings, but like Saturday late morning or afternoon. Very different vibe. We don't record at night. So we've all had full work days. Matt's put his kids down already. I got somebody else putting my kids down right now because Nicole's sick. And I'm back at the shop and we'll see how this goes. Because this may not have been the best.
Do you know this person putting your kids down? Or is this just like someone you picked up?
I'm somewhat related to her. It's my mom. So.
Oh, okay.
I do trust her.
One of those shop poopers that you just grabbed and said, hey.
They got to pay their dues somehow. that'll work for me.
You use behind my shop to poop. So it's time for you to put my kids down.
Yeah, it's very late here. So if you're watching the video version, you might see the doorway in the back. So the guys have been given specific instructions that if they see anybody with a hockey mask, or anyone looking threatening back there. Actually, there shouldn't be anyone else here. So if there's anyone back there, I'd like to know if you could just tell me.
Preferentially.
Yeah. I've got a very heavy water bottle and I'm not afraid to use it. I will throw that thing. I'll yeet it over there.
Go get some chisels or something from the shop.
Something a little sharper.
For a little extra.
Okay. Advantage. I got a little pocket knife here too. All right, well, let's get to what's on the bench.
Hold on. Don't murder me yet. I gotta, like,
death,
pull the knife out.
Death by a thousand puncture wounds. It'll be good. All right, let's get to what's on the bench. I did something monumental and extremely exciting about a couple weekends ago at this point. I went to the St. Louis Rockler.
Woohoo. I've been there.
I heard you've been there. It was awesome. I could still
smell you. They have my picture on the wall there?
Like the barbecue places that have the famous people yes, that stop by. Yeah. He's got a little Cremona on the wall with this indecipherable thing that's supposed to be your signature. Yeah.
See? It's
all working out.
It's working, you know? I have a good thing going, all right? Yeah. Don't be jealous.
Okay, I won't. So we were there. And it was right as they opened. And I was like, The thing was, I just needed some armor seal. We were in the area for something else. I was like, oh, let me just stop at Rockler. I got to pick that up anyway. So I go in and we make it through the front door, make it about 10 steps. And I hear, you thought you were just going to slip by, huh? And I was like, what the hell is going on here? And it was the, not the main guy, like the, I guess one of the managers or the main manager. I don't know. He is like somebody who makes decisions, important person. Super nice guy. And I didn't really have to stop to talk to anybody else. After I talked to him, I went, I got my armor seal and I got the heck out of there. But I will say this, what a great store. Everything.
It's pretty big.
It's huge. It's very long. And they've got like a separate setup, like a really cool looking setup for demos and classes. And we did walk around a little bit just to get the lay of the land. Tons of wood in the space as well for lumber for sale. What a great store. Really, really nice. So thanks for the warm welcome over there. Whoever, I can't remember your name. So if you email me your name, I'll remember your name. I'm just not good with names. Nothing personal. But it was absolutely
that's 100% personal. Store. Something more personal than someone's name.
Not if I forget everybody's name equally across the board, then it's not personal. I sometimes have to write your names down before we do the show so I can talk to you both.
It's in the notes.
Oh, it's in the notes. That's right. That's why it's there.
There we go.
You thought it was there for your benefit.
Corner of our video screens right here. So that's how I keep track.
Yeah,
it's especially there. When Matt gets all pixelated and I can't actually see that it's him.
Yeah, why does it do that?
At least the name is there.
Don't worry about me.
At least it's recording on his end. So we got that going for us.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. Well, that's good to hear because you remember when I went to the Portland main store, like, no, I got nothing.
No attention at all?
They didn't even talk to me.
Dang.
They didn't even talk to
me. What's up with that? Maybe you just looked unapproachable.
Probably. Probably. Yeah, they could smell hand tools on me. I'm like, I don't want to talk to this blowhard.
His stuff doesn't even plug in. Oh, can you imagine?
You want to check out the stuff in the back behind the curtain.
Yeah.
The special room.
Right.
To be fair, they did have other customers, so it's not like they completely ignored me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that stinks. Maybe next time. All right, so...
I'll bring in my own cutout.
There you go. Woodworking-wise, I started a sideboard project. Not a lot to say about that, but I'm playing with
some new... What are you talking about? That's pretty cool.
Is it?
You're fine. Maybe it's not cool. I mean, I thought it was cool.
I haven't made much yet.
I'm liking it. I don't know.
I got a side sub-assembly together. There's not a whole lot to it. I'm glad you were sufficiently impressed, but... you like the crotch. That's what you're into.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. I've got these crotch side panels that were really good, which I posted just a quick video.
You're getting in on my territory.
Well,
here.
That's
we're
going to
have a turf battle here.
That's the thing, man. Nobody can post a crotch without getting, invoking the name of Cremona with these things.
That picture you posted of the sourcing of the crotch.
Yeah.
I actually was... busting out I don't like laugh out loud for real very often.
Yeah,
like, oh, swipe right to see where it came from. It's a freaking hole in a slab. I'm like, oh my god.
Well, here's the thing was,
in my mind I'm thinking like, oh cool, he's a picture of like the tree or the log or another sawmill or something cool. Yeah. No, it's hacked out the center of the slab, all the good stuff gone.
I asked Tim, I was like, listen, man, I need some special material. Do you have anything? I'm looking for something crotchy with a lot of figure. He goes, I got just the thing. I assumed he had either like a small little slab somewhere or is this piece just sitting there. He just resawed it in half to give me two panels. And then he sends me that picture and I'm like, wow, that was like, I want that section and I'm going to cut that out. Like a Bugs Bunny thing, you know, with the saw cut and bloop, thing just pops out.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So there's a lot more cool stuff to come with this one. Doing some cool stuff.
Oh, teasing us, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. The doors are going to have some live edge resawn into almost...
How are you feeling,
like
okay?
A thick, you settle down over there. A thick veneer.
Who are you? And then, what do you know with Mark?
There's even going to be some copper in there.
You can't do metal. What the hell? What is going on?
Watch me.
You crazy Instagram hipster.
There won't be any... Yeah, but there won't be any epoxy, so... There's that.
All right, but there's still some skinny still jeans time. In there somewhere.
Some skinny jeans and beards.
Yeah, definitely a knit beanie of some sort.
Oh, I could pull that. Yes, I could pull that off for sure. So that's all that's exciting for me lately. Shannon, what do you got going on?
Same project that I talked about the last time we did this show. Mm. I've just got this group build going. We're going really slow, letting people catch up. But frankly, I don't know. It's kind of fun. Actually, Margaret has got this thing going on, like 5 minutes of shop time a day.
We should mention that.
Something like that.
We should probably mention that.
She's doing great things.
Kind of related to this, but like this whole group build idea is like we have one time per week that we will be working. And a lot of people have actually gotten back to me and said, you know, I really like that because I've got like other projects going on or I've got life, but I know that I can get this 1 hour to like 90 minutes of time every Saturday. So far that's when I've been doing my working. And frankly, lately with schedule as it is, that's about the only time I've been able to actually do any significant woodworking. So it makes the project go really slow, but it's also like that kind of accountability. I know I will at least get this part done. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm still working on that. We've got a glued up table ready to move on to a drawer.
Nice.
So that's where
super
I am.
Cool. Who wants to talk about the Margaret thing?
I think I already did.
That's about it though, right? Like she
5 minutes of shop time a day, you know,
but it's a cool little initiative that she did. Cause I saw a couple people actually like tagging on the post and doing what she was. Cause I didn't, at first I just saw it. I'm like, Margaret's doing something awesome. Like that's part of the course with Margaret. So I wasn't sure exactly what she was doing. And then I looked at it and I'm like, oh, this is actually cool. She's doing a thing to get people in the shop, get in there for 5 minutes and get something done. And people are doing it. And that is a very good thing. So thank you, Margaret. Okay, Matt, what do you got going on besides messing up the recording today?
I'm only here to screw up your life.
Yeah, thanks.
Hashtag Matt's fault.
That's right. That's what he does.
Just, you know, bringing some chaos to your life.
I need more.
It's been too easy for you lately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I have been, I've been in the shop a little bit. I am making I'm actually remaking a project that I made like 10 years ago. In the shop, I'm making a sandpaper storage rack for like sheet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you would call that? The full
the sheets of sandpaper
that are like the size of a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know that size?
We're familiar.
I don't know what you're familiar with.
Sandpapers? Might be on the list of things. But thanks for being cautious.
I'm trying to gauge my audience here.
You just never know
who I'm talking to.
Yeah, Shannon might not know what it is because all of his surfaces are perfectly clean from blades. But I sometimes need to sand things.
I don't know. There's like different shapes. We only used to like the circle ones.
Yeah. I only buy the really expensive ones that are two-sided, just perfectly sized, already cut for my hand. Those are my favorite.
Like a mitt? Like a standing mitt?
No, like the epic sandpaper. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you're making jokes. Okay.
I'm trying too hard. It's not coming off.
No, it's late.
Completely missing the mark. Anyway.
Yep.
I'm remaking this wall-mounted sandpaper rack storage thing that was in my shop, my old shop, made out of MDF. I'm making this one out of elm. I'm doing some through miter dovetails, and I'm trying something new, which I'm pretty excited about. Ooh. I am trying through tenons.
Wow. Look at you.
I'm crazy.
I've done that a few times. I really hope you are assaulted with people saying that that's Mark's thing.
I don't think so. That's going to be, it's about to be
Can that happen, please? So what kind of through tenons? Like, are you going to wedge them? You're going to just
no,
move in and go flush?
No. Just flush. Because normally I would just do a crenellated tenon and not have it go through.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, like, I'm going to go through because this is like the same project as like every other shop thing I have. It's the same as the hand tool cabinet. It's the same as like my little like router bit rack storage thing.
Yeah.
It's a dovetailed box with a divider in it or a shelf that's been tenoned into the sides.
Yeah.
It's the same project again.
Nothing wrong with that, though. Hey, what, speaking of sandpaper, what do you like? What do you like for like sandpaper brands for just sheets of sandpaper?
I don't know. What do you don't have a favorite. I just buy whatever.
I did that recently. I just went to Amazon. I bought some kind of a 3M thing and I'm like, this stuff is garbage. Like normally the 3M stuff I buy is good. And I've put this all on me because you know how sandpaper grades and types are. You could very easily buy something that doesn't behave the way you expect it to. Mm-hmm. I did that, but I'm looking at it going like, I don't understand what I bought that works this way. It's just crap. It gets dull so quickly. So I was kind of looking for a brand that I could latch onto. There's a good question.
I couldn't even tell you what I have. That's how little I pay attention to like what the brand is.
Yeah.
It could be 3M or it could be like Norton or I don't even know.
I live off woodworking show swag sandpaper.
I still have some of that too.
From woodworking in America 5 years ago.
From woodworking America, from fine woodworking's little thing, from the woodworking shows. Like it who's the big one of the big brands? They always have like giveaways. They're like the tight bond of sandpaper.
Merca? 3M? Merca, 3M and Norton, like that's about it, right?
It's probably 3M, I feel like.
But Maverick abrasives?
Always give away like a little round dispenser, like random orbital sander dispenser type thing.
Yeah.
And I've got like three of them, and I've just been slowly working my way through them.
Nice. Lifetime supply.
All that sanding.
Just a couple shows.
I'm all about the free swag.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, we got a little bit of kickback here. Matt, you want to grab the first one?
Let's read it.
That's usually what we do on the show.
Generally, yes,
read it. Just, you know, you don't have to say the cuss word.
Say, I'd like to see you act it out.
Holy poop nuggets. Mac got my name perfect.
So here's the thing. This is a guy who previously was a Patreon supporter, right? And you pronounced his name. So do you know which one of the pronunciations was the correct one? Because I think you tried multiple.
I don't know.
There was like three or four that got thrown around.
That's the big question here. Okay, well, that's good. Voto was his name?
That we decided it was?
I don't know.
Voshto or something.
We're going to do
like
the
that.
Same thing we did last time, and we're going to say it three different ways.
I was going to say, if you throw different enough pronunciations, you're bound to get one.
I'm glad at least
one. I'm trying
to
remember what I said.
Yeah, I don't know.
Voito?
Voito.
Shannon, Voito? You want to get this next one from Greg?
Sure. This is from Greg. He says, Mark, thanks for being a reluctant leader and speaking for the need of responsibility that should be part of YouTube fame. Kudos. Matt, you may not have intended to be seen as a good and responsible steward of the land by harvesting locally, but it does make a difference, and it's one of the reasons many of us like and follow you. Embrace it, Anne. And then Shannon, I would love to hear more about where CITES went wrong. Oh God.
Oh boy.
Even if it's just a direct response to me with a list of 2 to 3 species and why they shouldn't be on there. I'm a conservationist by profession and woodworker by hobby, but I understand that poorly justified regulations hurt the entire process of conservation and the public's faith in it. Thank you for bringing depth to the conversation. Mm. You hear that, guys? I'm deep.
Depth. You're deep.
I know.
Should I really respond to this?
Or if you're not comfortable, I mean, you could always take it to your own show.
Comfortable. It's just, you know, I already have the bad rap of hating nurses and everything. Now I'm going to like be like anti-environment.
Oh, may as well.
The quote thing from this week, that was hilarious. Right. Because I
knew it wasn't
going to
be me, right?
Before
that's
reading
too
the
obvious
caption.
Of an answer.
Oh, you're talking about Margaret's quote of the week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, where it was like Shannon was already offending people from the first episode he's ever been on. I listened to the sound clip. Like, oh God, he's offending people already.
Yeah.
And I read the actual caption. It's like, oh yeah, Shannon started offending people the first time he was on the show.
He does that.
Like, oh, no,
I'll have you know, I was on a Peloton ride the other day, and there was a whole bunch of nurses on there because they all have little hashtags on their leaderboard names.
They ganged
and it was like
up
nurses
and
doing
high-fived
this,
team after
and
you.
They all high-fived me. Yeah. I got like 100 high-fives over the course of a minute, all from nurses.
I feel like that might have been a misinterpreted high-five. That may have been like a close-fisted high-five.
Right. More like a slap to the face.
Your number one single-finger salute.
Yeah, exactly.
That type of thing. Yes. Possibly.
Might have been what it was. All right. Well, I mean, if this.
Well, let me just quickly touch on this because I did do an episode of the Lumber Update about the recent CITES convention. And if you haven't listened to that yet, Greg, you might want to. It's my recap of the COP19 convention. Ultimately, you can come down to one thing. It's all politics. And we say that a lot. But ultimately, what is being voted on is it's a Well, it's lobbyists who go in and say, we want you to vote for this. So when you look at a species that was recently put on Appendix 2, it was voted, the proposition was put forth by countries that are not even in the range state. So the wood does not grow in those places or anywhere, like, not even on the same continent. These countries put forth this species. It was Ipe. And the countries who actually have it in their, you know, within their boundaries, put up data point after data point after data point saying this is not endangered in the slightest. And the vote went through. It comes down to, can you get enough votes? It's just like Capitol Hill or any parliament anywhere in the world. If somebody has enough backing behind a certain idea or proposition, it doesn't actually really matter what the facts are. So there were multiple species that were voted to Appendix 2, but at the same time, Appendix 2 doesn't even mean it's endangered. But there's this stigma. It's been voted to Appendix 2. Does that mean anything? More importantly, CITES doesn't regulate dick. They don't regulate a thing. They can't make laws. They have no power to make laws. Yeah, right? That would be really upsetting.
Yeah.
So basically, they make a proposition saying, this is now Appendix 2, and it's up to you guys to figure out how to do that. So the individual countries have to figure out how we're going to even monitor this or control it. And it's just a complete cluster. So the bad news is I don't have a solution. When you've got so many international parties, you know, and when you've got a species that crosses international borders, how do you regulate this? And I talked about this on the last episode of the Lumber Update. How do we regulate Russian birch? The only way you can regulate Russian birch is by outlawing birch 100% across the board. Mm-hmm. What about Finnish birch? You know, what about North American birch? What about the other companies? France makes birch plywood, but you can't. There's no way to stop it just coming from Russia. You may think there is, but it's just not possible. So it just all comes down to politics. Who's got enough votes? Who was voted, you know, class president? Because they're the most popular in class, you know, and they gave out lollipops at lunch. You know, that's the biggest issue with the whole thing.
Okay. Good to know. Thanks for that.
Sure.
Thought it would be fun to, you know, we don't really focus on reviews anymore. You guys remember that? Like iTunes reviews were a big thing.
I can't even find them now.
Right? They're hard to find. And they've removed some of the features I noticed. Like I went to look at reviews for something and normally you could sort by like the most recent or the most critical, most favorable. I think those search parameters and filters are gone now. So all you have is a random smattering of reviews. So I thought it would be fun to pick three of the worst ones I could find. Because
the worst ones.
I'm in the mood for someone to smack me around a little bit.
I know some nurses.
That's right. This one is a little confusing. From Smoke and Joe, 1967. It's a good review. He titles it The Woodworking Gods. He says, if you are a woodworker and want to learn and expand, then these three guys can help. Great information from three respected fellow woodworkers. 2 stars.
So that's awesome. I love that.
Better than one.
There's always room for improvement. I appreciate that.
I get
Joe.
The message. Thanks. I think loud and clear. Yeah. We got it. There's a high bar.
Work harder to gain that third star.
It's a high bar to clear with Smoke and Joe. Okay. This is another good one. Ready? Wow. What a turnoff. This is 1 star, by the way. And this is fairly recent. Have been trying this podcast out for a while now, started today's episode, and one of the hosts was berating a listener who gave feedback about a lack of woodworking content. His response and attitude, if you don't like it, don't listen, to a listener was incredibly rude. So, I don't like that attitude, therefore I won't listen. Pity, show isn't half bad, but rude host made me unfollow and leave a negative review. Why not try being a little less rude next time?
It's not half bad, right. It's 2 out of 5.
And that's
not quite half.
Vuol is his name, I guess, or her name. I don't know. Either way, I've just put that one in the same place I put all the negative feedback about the show, in the garbage.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's all good. I did it for fun. I try to, you know, I'm playing a role on this show as the bitter old podcaster, and that's my job. Just doing my job, guys.
Oh, what's my job?
Hopeful young upstart crotch fanatic. How's that?
Steward of the land.
Steward of the land.
Oh, steward of the land.
The accidental hero that we needed.
The accidental. Very accidental. Yes.
Okay.
Certainly an accident somewhere.
Yeah. I think so. And here's the final one. One star from Showbiz. Rockler. Shut up with the Rockler already.
There we go.
All right.
Winner.
So ding. Let's talk a little bit about store expansions. Rockler is excited to announce the openings of three brand new stores in March. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Richmond, Virginia, Taylorsville, Utah, which is just outside of Salt Lake City. You may be missing out if you haven't been to a Rockler store lately. I have. You'll find top power tool brands and accessories, a large lumber selection, dust collection, router tables, T-Track, finishing supplies, hardware, and more. Rockler stores also host a variety of classes and events. Visit rockler.com to find a store near you, or stop by the new stores if you're in the area. No matter which store you visit, you can count on Rockler for innovative products, expert advice, and exceptional customer service. And this is the show you go to listen to find all about, find out about, sorry, Rockler.
Rockler.
Go
Rockler.
Hey, he wanted more. He got it. That's what I say.
There you go.
As much Rockler as we can shove down your throat. That's what we're here to do. It's all
seriously
good.
That was some veteran podcasting right there, Mark.
You like well that? Done. You like that move?
Well done.
Quite good. That's,
you know, virtual FU.
If you can't come up with a good segue, use the reviews to segue for you. Yeah. Lovely.
Preferably a complaint about the sponsor.
Yes, absolutely.
And roll right into it. So there you go. Check out rockler.com for all of that good stuff. All right. Well, after that exciting thingy, let's get to some questions, shall we? So I got a question here from my buddy Alex Adams. He's the meme machine. So what do you guys think about this?
I hope he makes a meme about himself.
He probably will. Alex, get on it. He listens to an episode and he will crank out like 20 memes from the show. And they're actually
pretty good.
They're really funny. And I think I'm going to ask Margaret when he sends these, just post them all. Put them all in one post.
Just put them all in.
Every week. People need to see this stuff. It's really good. I mean, some of them I'll look at and I'm like, I don't know if that's funny, but my sense of humor is not the same as everybody's. Everybody should see these and they're going to find one or two that they absolutely love. So yeah. Anyway, thanks for that, Alex. You always do a good job. All right, so he has a question about Roomba cleaning the shop. He says, a colleague recently posted a video about using a robot vacuum in the shop to aid in cleaning. In their video, and we'll try to put this link in the show notes if we can remember, they've got a nice robot vacuum that can be set to vacuum certain areas as well as dump into a bin so it doesn't have to be manually emptied after each clean cycle. They have a big shop, so some of the premium features are nice, but for my own house, I use a basic robot vacuum that's about $100. It does pretty well with a small space. Would you ever try a basic or even high-end robot vacuum in your own shop to help with the cleaning? So I actually have tried this. I do have a robot vacuum at home as well. We used a Roomba probably when they first came out. Real unimpressive back then. Didn't do a whole lot, but you know, it was a cool concept. Since then, and I hadn't bought one since that original. Actually, no, we did upgrade a couple years later, got better, but still, you know, not great. It certainly was no substitute for vacuuming your house. And just recently we upgraded to a Eufy, and they really have come a long way in the amount of power that these things have, the suction power. It's quite impressive. It does a really good job in our house. Like every day with two dogs, it's a lot of dog hair that just goes around the house that you don't even realize is there. And this thing is just working away. The battery lasts a long time. Really good. Now, the question is whether that works in the shop. So I had my previous gen back in Denver. I did an experiment one time and I just brought the thing into the shop and was like, all right, let's see what happens. The problem with that is it wasn't even that it wasn't good enough at sucking debris. It was getting all the stuff that, you know, it's not just dust on the floor. A lot of times it's like little chunks of wood. It's shavings. Shannon's stuff would clog one of these things in a heartbeat, right? Like big, thick shavings. So you have to think about what's actually on the floor. And if all you have is fine dust or, you know, coarse dust or something like that, you'd probably be fine. But I think if you really have the kind of stuff most of us woodworkers typically, visual. Yeah. That stuff is going to clog it up in a hurry. So even if I brought my Eufy in here, I'm sure it would be problematic. I think the way you get around this is probably that, $1,400 now, maybe the Makita one. Have you guys seen that one? Mm-hmm. So it's like a Makita job site.
Does it have
site.
A chipper in it?
It probably does. I think
like a built-in shredder.
Looks pretty massive. Awesome. I think that would probably be something that could handle the bigger debris. But that said, I think if you do have just dust in your shop, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I've actually got our old one from the house here in the shop office, not in the actual shop itself, but a lot of the dust gets tracked into the office. So it's nice to have that thing running around periodically. But I don't know. They've gotten so good lately. If you're good about picking up the big stuff, it might be worth trying. And it's got me like he sent this email and I'm thinking, oh, man, now I'm thinking about that. I really would like to have that happen. But then again, who needs a Yuffie when you got a Jason? That's what I always say.
There you go.
Yeah. He's already on payroll. Make him do it. No, seriously, though. It's a cool idea. So.
Right on.
Yeah. Shannon.
I like that. Well, I mean, from a, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like from a wood dust toxicity, it's the, if you're sweeping up the shavings yourself and the room is coming in getting a little stuff, seems like that would be, you know, healthier in the long run.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
We don't sweep anything. We just vacuum everything. So.
This is from Jeff. He says, I'm concerned my saws aren't cutting like they should because the teeth are too random. I file the teeth as carefully as I can, but they still have discrepancies from one tooth to another because you're doing it by hand and everyone seems to be fine with that. But how do you know it's going to cut accurately and straight and efficient as possible if the teeth are all slightly different? Which brings up the next question. When you're setting the teeth, if the tooth send petters, if the tooth setter pin jobber, This is written by Mark. Yeah. The tooth setter pin jobber isn't exactly in the center of the tooth. Isn't the angle of the set going to be different? Not to mention small changes of fleam. Yeah. And lastly, do you need to pound out the set before sharpening? I've seen some people flatten the teeth before resharpening and resetting, and sometimes they don't. And I can't tell where it's appropriate. Love the show. It's adequately funny.
Well, hey.
Two stars funny.
That's a compliment.
Two stars funny.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Two stars.
Adequate amount.
Are the teeth all different sizes because everyone seems fine with that? I'm not fine with that, Jeff. If the teeth are all different sizes, it is going to not cut well. It's going to kind of stutter and vibrate and jump all over the place. You're not going to get like a smooth action on the saw. It's going to sound rough just because, you know, the saw does its job because of all those little tiny chisels on the teeth. All the teeth are just like chisels. And if they're all completely different sizes, you're actually like disrupting that frequency every time you push the saw into the cut. So ultimately for it to cut cleanly, they do need to be the same size. Now, like, are we holding up a, you know, a square to them and, you know, getting the exact same angle? No, they need to look the same. That's as close as they need to be. But if you can look at those teeth and just quickly visually inspect them and see that they are not the same size. First of all, some of them may be lower than others, in which case the lower teeth are not working at all. The taller teeth around them are doing all the work. The variability in the gullet size is going to cause all kinds of kind of stuttering problems as the saw is working. It's just going to be, it's going to feel like you have to push a lot harder because you're getting that kind of disruption in the flow as the saw runs through it. So if you have that, you need to go back and shape those teeth. So saw sharpening starts with shaping the teeth. Then you would have got them all the same shape. Then you go back and sharpen them. And the sharpening is really just like one or two passes of the file just to kind of, you know, clean up everything. But if you're using a saw file, you know, a little triangular saw file, you'll be surprised how easy it is to get the same shape of tooth. Maybe pick up yourself one of those fancy Veritas saw filing guides or get yourself a block of wood with a certain angle on it. Give you something to kind of control, to gauge the angle that you're holding the file at. But focus your pressure down rather than across. And I think you'll find that you can get the file to kind of sink into the tooth more evenly. So you're getting even cutting on both the front of the file and the back of the file, which should help you to shape your teeth a little bit more. And then as you're trying to shape, and maybe you need to remove more from the left than you do from the right, you can apply lateral pressure to the left to kind of shape them. But you do need to spend some time getting them the same shape. Maybe what he's saying by people seem to be okay with them being different is like, you know, slight discrepancies. But no, they pretty much need to be all even, certainly the same height, you know, and that's where you joint the teeth. Now, if you are setting them and the little hammer is not directly centered on the tooth, yes, that's going to cause problems. So don't do that. The only thing I can tell you, if you find that you're having trouble because like the hammer is too big for the size of tooth, then you need a different saw set. You need a saw set that is actually designed for finer pitched saws. They do make them. There are different ones. I know the Somax pistol grip one, there's a blue one and a gold one, and they are different sizes, different ranges of pitches. If you're really struggling with that, you might look into some of the other saw sets. Certainly, if you can get your hands on a hammer set, that's going to provide a lot more precision or more consistency. But those have become kind of super popular, especially since Bad Axe Toolworks kind of popularized it. And then they kind of shores the hammer set world, and now you can't find them anymore. Lastly, I know that there are some people out there who hammer out the set. I don't agree with this. I was actually told this by Mike Winsloff, who, you know, kids today may not know who that is. But woodworkers of yore remember Mike Winsloff being like the guy. Like before Lee Nielsen made saws, Winsloff was the only place you could go and buy modern saws anymore. And I went to a sharpening seminar with Mike, and he was dead set against the damage that you could create by hammering out the teeth. The only way he said he would recommend reducing the set with like pressure was to actually put, if you can get the entire saw plate in a vise. So like if you have a, you know, 16 inch long saw, you need 16 inches of teeth. And he would use a bit of tissue paper and he would squeeze the whole thing in a really super strong vise. But he said, even then, I don't really, like I only do that because I've got the vise that can accommodate it. The better way to handle this is by what's called stoning. Or maybe it should be called filing because you usually use a file. And you lay the saw on its side and you just drop a mill file on top of the teeth. Don't push down on the mill file, just drag the mill file across the teeth. And what that's going to do is grind off that set little by little. Once you've stoned the saw, you may have to go back and joint it because you're removing steel here. But there's so many, when you bend the tooth, it kind of inherently weakens the steel, which is natural. But if you bend it back on itself, the opposite direction, you're dramatically weakening the steel. And the metaphor that I always use is take like a credit card and bend it in half and then bend it the other way. And you'll see just like that white line of distressed plastic. And you see just how quickly you can snap a card in half by bending it back and forth a couple of times. Same thing's happening with your plate steel. So by hammering it back into shape, you're just weakening the steel overall. So stone it. Don't beat it. Stone it.
All right.
Getting biblical here.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. Like you're at, like you have metal fatigue essentially on those teeth if you keep moving them back and forth.
If you think about it, that steel's pretty, I mean, it is spring steel, so there's a certain, you know, amount of springiness to it. Mm-hmm. But the reason it's spring steel is you can like set that tooth and it kind of holds that setting. So if you force it into another setting, specifically if you bend it back the other way instead of leaning further into the set, you'll start getting teeth snapping off pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, look at that.
All right.
Wow.
Who knew? Wow. Okay, Matt. Enlighten us with your answer.
I'm always happy to learn something from Shan. That's right.
Okay. Aren't we all? We're lucky to have him.
No. It's a blessing when it happens. Okay.
Take what little we can
when
get.
It happens. That's the key part to that statement.
All right. My question is from Eric. Eric says, as I focus on getting better with hand tools like chisels and planes, I can't help but to wonder, how do I know if my tools are sharp enough? Do I need to be a paper slicing ninja or perhaps shave my arm hairs with that chisel? Is there a test method that is your go-to for determining if a tool is sharp, or should I find a tool sharpening service so I can get the feel of what a sharp tool is? Any advice or places where I can send a chisel would be appreciated. Hmm. All right. So I don't really, maybe you guys know a place you can send a chisel to be properly sharpened besides, you know, just mailing it to Mark and having him do it.
I was going to say, do you send it to Shannon.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want it back, I can't help you.
Yeah. But, you know. Sharpen it and I'm keeping it.
So I wanted to kind of address this because we've talked about this several times in the past about like, once you've used a sharp tool and you actually understand what it is and how much better things work when they're sharp, mm-hmm. that's like this epiphany moment. But I wanted to kind of just take it a little bit of a different direction this time and just kind of focus on more of this sharpness being more of like this gradient of how sharp it needs to be for the application of the thing you're doing. So if you're like doing some heavy chopping or something, maybe you don't need it to be as sharp. If you're trying to do some fine paring, then you probably need a little more sharpness. And what was kind of timely about this question is that on the piece of wood that I'm working on for my sandpaper cabinet, I think it's Siberian elm. So it's not like super hard to begin with, or super hard, like American elm or rock elm would be. And the way this tree grew is like the early growth rings from like when the tree was like 5 or less than 10 years old, they're like a half inch apart, the growth rings. Mm. And then it gets to like 16th towards the outside. So I'm dovetailing a board that came pretty much from the center of the tree, right above pith. So I have like huge growth rings, huge growth rings, huge growth rings. And then the outsides, which is kind of like more of like a quarter sawn, riff sawn area,
right,
is like little tiny little growth rings. So the density difference across the whole board is incredibly stark. Like it's just, it's bizarre. So in the middle where I'm cutting the really wide growth rings, that low density area, it's like dovetailing like spruce or pine or a marshmallow.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how sharp my chisels are, the fibers are going to collapse right away.
Yeah.
And like the whole middle is going to be this, like a beaver chewed out the whole middle of that pin socket or the tail socket, whatever I'm cutting.
I don't know about you, but my s'mores stay together in the fire when they're dovetailed together.
You know, dovetail really lock them together, into the graham
cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't like.
Think you're doing something wrong with the chocolate, maybe? I don't know.
That could, I mean, it may be.
It should stay together.
It's possible.
I let my kids take care of that stuff usually. So it's not really my forte so much. Usually they're on fire.
Blow it out, Daddy. Blow it out.
The kids are the
Why are you wearing that in my face?
Yeah. Flaming liquid sugar in front of dad's face is always good.
Anyways, I was saying, so like as I get towards the outside of the board, like the chisels actually start cutting properly and I can actually make a nice chopping paring cut across the end grain without a problem. So you can even, in one piece of wood, you can see the difference between the sharpest level of the chisel and the grind angle of the chisel too. Because the chisels that I'm using have I think they're at 20 degrees, so they're a little steeper. Or shallower,
right? Whichever
side of the thing you want to think about it on.
Mm-hmm. Whatever your reference
is. They're pointier than normal. And it's still not enough to get the marshmallow out of there.
Wow.
Even though I know that chisel is sharp. It's perfectly sharp enough to do normal density wood without a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to a different density wood and all of a sudden it's not sharp enough or the angle is not steep enough or shallow. What did you decide? What did you decide for me?
Shallow.
Is that shallow or?
I would say shallow.
Shallow.
Lower.
Very shallow angle.
Lower. It's lower.
Lower number.
But I like pointier.
Pointier. That's a good one.
New way.
Pointier.
It's pointier.
So you can get in there a little pointier. So as far as like my own sort of standard of like what's sharp enough as I'm working, I'm not like Shannon. I'm not doing any like heavy chopping. Like I'm not chopping joinery. I'm mostly just paring joinery, although the motion is still chopping. I'm not hogging material. I'm doing like these little fine paring shaving cuts at the end. So I don't necessarily need to worry about like heavy duty chopping. So if I can pare end grain with a chisel in like a normal density wood, that's kind of where I'm happy. As I'm working, I'm also kind of monitoring the level of difficulty it is as I'm pushing the chisel through. And I'll strop as I work to keep that edge kind of going. Because you can actually feel the difference as you get going. Like, oh, this is getting kind of draggy.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best way to describe it. It's taking more effort to push through. The cut's still kind of fine, but it's taking more effort to cut. And that's when it's time to go and hit the horse butt real hard and bring it back to life.
Yeah.
I think if you're just trying to get into it, you're trying to figure out like where can I go to get like a perspective of like what's sharp enough? I think the paper slicing thing is kind of, it's a little gimmicky, but it does give you at least some feel. Like if you go to slice the paper and it literally like pushes the paper out of the way and like tears it, then yeah, clearly it's not sharp enough. but you can still slice paper with a dull chisel, or air quotes, this duller chisel than it could be. So I don't know. Have we ever had like a good, like, here's like a really good go-to way of trying or having the experience of like a properly sharpened tool?
There's just the stupid
one. Like having some quota.
The shaving is something that I've seen countless times as people use that as a reference point. But it, like,
yeah, but here's the like thing with that
hair,
too.
You mean, or yeah. The wood shaving.
We've talked about that too. Like, hair. You get that chisel so perfectly sharp. It's only sharp for that moment, because as soon as you use that crazy honed, perfectly polished edge, it's gone.
Well, there's also times where I've tried that and I do it, and I'm like, well, it's not really shaving. But then I go over to the wood and it's like, man, that's a sharp chisel. Like, it's fine. Yeah. I don't care that. Well, it
have
didn't
you seen how coarse
hair.
Your hair is?
I do have some coarse, very thick hair. It's like little baby tree trunks growing out of my body. So yeah, I mean, it is. If you bring up a really good point, though, kind of like how we always say, you know, using a cheap tool, sometimes you use a really crappy, you know, Home Depot block plane, you do nothing to it, take it home, and that tool can really color your impression of what hand tools can do. But you're absolutely right. Even if they had a sharp tool, but they take it to the wrong species of wood, they may walk away also with a bad experience, going like, you do this on poplar. It's another, not poplar. It's in Arizona. All the, you know what I'm
Aspen?
Talking about? No.
Oh.
Oh, shoot. How am I
Arizona?
Spacing?
I don't
alder.
Know.
Oh, God. It was right on the tip of my tongue. Alder is that kind of wood that tends to want to crush under the sharpest of chisels. But you would think it was you. You know, if you're new, you don't think it's necessarily the situation. But yeah, absolutely. That wood species makes a huge difference.
It could be you.
Could be you.
Y-E-W.
It's a possibility.
English you.
Yeah. Could be.
Oh.
Hey.
I like to pair the end grain of softwood. To me, that's the indicator. Like, because I can, I, you know, like Mark, I may have some particularly wiry hairs. Yeah. But if you can take a chisel and you can set it flat on the end grain and without like lifting it up and just push it straight across, if it pulls up a shaving on a softwood, that's good.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Well, and the fingernail test isn't bad.
And that's either. Way sharper than you need generally.
Yeah. I mean, I've stopped doing the shaving thing. I did it for a while, but then my skin gets irritated. Then I got a bald spot. Who wants that? So I'm like, well, what about just taking the back of your fingernail and you drag it across? And when you could really just get a nice, clean amount of like fingernail shaving coming off, you can kind of tell the difference with your fingernail. With the, like a really sharp surface or one that's kind of a little bit blunted. I don't know. That seems
Mark's nail salon.
Hey,
you don't even have to drag it. I find that like a sharp chisel will like
grab.
Stick.
Yeah.
Like the lightest touch will actually stick in your fingernail. I had a guy that he's kind of like the David Carradine of sharpening. Like he's not Japanese, but he like wandered the desert. Sorry, if you're not an old Kung Fu fan, you don't know what I'm talking about here, but David Carradine was the guy that took Bruce Lee's job to be like the Kung Fu expert wandering the desert.
Yeah.
He was the Incredible Hulk of Kung Fu. But this guy like grew up in Japan, like learned to sharpen by Japanese masters, but he was just an American dude. And his way of checking was if he could slide the chisel like under his skin without drawing blood, it was sharp enough. So like this guy was purposely trying to maim himself.
That sounds fun.
So it was like so sharp that it was like sliding beneath like the cells, the skin cells. And he could actually like show you like the chisel is now like a quarter inch into my thumb and there's no blood. I'm like, okay, that's sharp, but I feel like there's a learning curve to get there. Like maybe not the learning curve I want to go.
Yeah,
with.
That's not a method for me. I could tell you that much.
He was definitely one of those guys that adds credence to the expression that sharpening is a religion all of its own.
Yeah.
Like he was definitely worshiping something.
All right. Sounds good. What the fuck? Good stuff. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. Family owned since 1954, Rockler is your go-to source for high quality and innovative woodworking tools, finishing supplies, hardware, lumber, and expert advice. Whether you're building a simple bookshelf, a custom desk, or new kitchen cabinets, Rockler has everything you need to make your next project a success. Visit Rockler.com and use the code WOODTALK, it's all one word, to receive free shipping on most orders over $49. And remember to head to Rockler.com/WOODTALK to enter for your chance to win a $250 gift card.
Yay, Rockler.
Yay.
Which, by the way, if you go use that code and the order is not over $49, it says that the code is no longer valid.
Oh, no kidding.
We had a couple of people that said the code doesn't work anymore.
That's right.
And maybe, instead of it saying this code doesn't apply, it says it's no longer valid.
Yeah, that's not valid for that purchase. Didn't meet the requirements.
And it worked well. Rockler, you'll be glad to know that I added something else to my cart that I didn't need in order to get it over $49 so that I could get free shipping.
Yeah. So good job.
Yeah. We all need some more like shop rags or little foam brushes or something, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was really easy. So yeah. Anyway, we love your questions. Send them to us. woodtalkshow.com is our website. There's a place where you can send questions in there, or you can just email us at woodtalkshow@gmail.com or look us up at woodtalkshow on Instagram and submit your questions there. Either way, just submit your questions. We might answer them.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
We could. Very small.
We might
percentage.
Be rude to you, though.
We could be.
We could very well be rude to you.
We don't like negative feedback.
Give us 3 stars and we'll be rude to you.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. And we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
All right. You can see me. Bye. Oh,
bye. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Look out behind you, Mark.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.